So we're here on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Yeah, and our goal here is to study this sugya, which actually begins on Hey Amud Beis, called Yerusha Lo Kanya. You recall that that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, and therefore, if a man dies after he designated a korban mincha and he left two sons, they can bring the korban, even though we have a principle called Ein Shutfim B'Menachos. But nevertheless, they're not called Shutfim because Yerusha Lo Kanya. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Iamrit Bishlema. If you would say, oh, so wait a minute, let's go backtrack one more line. The Gemara says the following. That Rabbi Yochanan says, in the case of Yarshim, that we have a principle called Ein Memirin Ba, which means that the Yarshim do not have the power to effectuate a tmura on a behemoth kachim that they inherited from their father. And that's in the case where there are two Yarshim. So the Gemara asks the following. This is mamash at the end of Daf Hei Amud Beis. We want to go on to Daf Vav Amud Aleph. I amrit bishleima kanya lehu, if not for Rabbi Yochanan, if we would assume that Yerusha kanya, hainu, now we understand the ein memirin ba, since there are two Yarshim, they become shutfim, and the halacha is that shutfim einam memirin. The habilu kishutfim, and the Gemara says on the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Shutfim lo matzu memirin. That's very good if you hold that Yerusha kanya. El iamrit lo kanya, imuri nami limru. Why can't these two Yarshim effectuate a tmura? Because they're not shutfim. And just like we saw by Menachos, they could bring the mincha of their father because they're not shutfim. So too, they should be able to be meimir because they're not called shutfim. So the Gemara answers, Shaini Hasam, the din of tmur is the exception to the rule that even though the karban is not kanui liyarshim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Yerusha lo kanya, nevertheless, there's a separate gzeiros hakasuv of shnayim ein memirin. In other words, that there's no source for a yorish to be meimir if it's more than one yorish. The Omar Kra, we have a drasha in the pasuk im hamer yamir, and it's written in the singular. Le Rabo says hayorish. That means if there's one yorish, then there is tmura, and that's based on a pasuk im hamer yamir. But if there are two yorishim, is ein shnayim memirin. So therefore, even though Rabbi Yochanan maintains that Yerusha lo kanya, and therefore they're not shutfim, there's a separate halach that ain't shnayim emirim, even if they're not shutfim.
Why would they have shnayim emirim all together? If they don't,
we'll soon see that each yoresh has to get the approval of the other yoresh in order to effectuate a tmura. But we have a wall till we get to that point.
Right,
that's going to be.
But there's no yoresh here because we're talking
well, about. Well, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Ein Yerusha Kanya, but nevertheless, there's a halach of miskaprin.
Right.
Even though they're not bialim over the korban, they have the status of miskaprin. And the zchus to be meimir is given to the miskaper.
Okay.
But if there are two miskaprim, and they each need the approval of the other one, then we have the gzeres hakos of Ein Shnayim Memirin.
Okay.
So we'll hopefully develop this as we go along.
So if they hold
the next part of the sugya is Maaser Sheni, and I hope that we'll get to that either today or another time.
But Rabbi, they're not shutfim. Okay, they're not shutfim, and they both want to get kahara from this korban. So that means that each one is about 100% of the korban.
Not exactly, because again, we're holding that Yerusha lo kanya. So for only Yerusha lo kanya, it's not pshat that they each have a kinyan, but they each have a zchus kapara.
Okay. And they got this by virtue of
of Yerusha. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan,
because he's not talking about Elokanya, he's not talking about this chusin, that they are Kohanim.
Well, again, as far as Dini Mominus is concerned, then the father is out of the picture, and now the Yerushim have complete ownership of
Yerusha.
And that's mean Dini Yerusha. But if you're talking about Kodshim, meaning to have a bialus over the carbon in Yerusha, that Rabbi Yochanan denies, meaning they're bringing the carbon of their father, it's not their carbon, but they're the miskaper. And therefore, Yorish as a miskaper could be Meimir. And we'll have to see exactly how the Schus Yerusha gives them a Schus Tmura. But if there are two of them and they each need the other one, then there's a Gzeres HaKos that says they cannot effectuate Tmura. Okay, then, so let's go slowly and see how we can develop this. You have the Sefer Nefesh Tova?
Yes.
All right, so there are two simonim that what we want to look at today, Mitzvah Hashem. And the first one is Ayin Aleph, and we decided that's on page Gimel. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. He says the following. Let's analyze two words in the Gemara. This entire piece that we're about to learn, Ayin Aleph, is really focused on two words in the Gemara, which is really fascinating, you know, to build a whole castle on two words. And the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says that Shutfim lo matzi mimirin, correct? Which means that in the case of Tmura, Shutfim cannot be Meimir. That we know. Just one second. I'm a little bit confused here. Just one second. I'm so sorry here. Oh, so let's see what the Gemara is saying. Yeah, the trouble is you have to go back and forth from him and based on Rav Menachem. That's the challenge. So again, we're saying the following, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if Yerusha lo kanya, then the Gemara says, then the Gemara is saying what? You can be Meimer or you cannot be Meimer. Let's read the Gemara one more time. Bishlema, according to Mani Omer Kanya Lahu, Hainu de Ein Mamirin Ba.
Right.
De Ein Mamirin Ba. Just one second. Because then there's Shutfim.
Right.
Oh, now on the top of the Vav. El Iyamit lo kanya lahu is imure nami limru. So Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the kinyan on the kinyan on the carbon is the father's kinyan, so the Yarshim don't have a kinyan, and therefore they're not shutfim, so they should be able to be meimir. That was the Gemara's kasha. So I stopped premature. Now I see I stopped premature. Let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, now I've been spending most of my morning on preparing for Tisha B'Av, because we're organizing, you know, a program for Tisha B'Av. Maskiv lo Rav Yaakov. Yeah? Maskiv lo Rav Yaakov minar p'kovet. Ela me'ato. Now that you've discussed what? You know what? We can skip the next Gemara. I'll tell you why. Because that's going to just derail us. We'll hopefully come back to the Sugya of Maisershin. So let's fast forward to Omrele Rav Asi L'Rav Ashi. Do you have that? How many lines down is it from the top? In the Gemara Davov, we'll call it line 10, Be'erach. We'll just round it off to the... Okay. Umi no. In other words, at this point we want to go back to the din of Tmura in the case of a Yorish. And let's not focus now on Shutfim, where there are two Shutfim, where there are two Yorishim. Let's just talk about the case where there's one Yorish. If there's one Yorish, can he be Meimir? Yes. Oh. So Gemara says the following, wait a minute. Until now we've been asking the Kasha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is it that two Yorishim cannot be Meimir? They're not Shutfim. And we quoted the Gzeres HaKosim. Let's ask a more fundamental question. If there's only one Yorish, then he can be Meimir. The Gemara says that itself is a stira to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? If it means that the karmon passes on to the son, Birusha, and therefore, again, this is against Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, the Yoresh now becomes, now becomes the Bala Karbon. Hainu de Chad Mia Meimar. I can absolutely understand why it is that one Yoresh could be Meimir, because he's the Bala. El Iamet Lo Kanya. But if you're going to tell me that basically the Yorshim, or in this case the Yoresh, is bringing the carbon on behalf of his father's Chiyuv, and the carbon belongs to his father because there's no Yerusha to be Konan, is Hechi Meimir? How could the Yoresh, if he's one Yoresh, be Meimir? The Omar Abi Avo, Omar Abi Yochanan, Hamagdish Mosif Chomesh. So we're talking about a case where a carbon had a mum, and as a result, you could be mechal the kedushas carbon onto mos. But if you do so, you have to add a chomesh. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says that if you split between the magdish and the miskaper, again, we're going to talk a lot about that, how and when do you split, but let's say Reuven is the magdish and Shimon is the miskaper, right? So Reuven was magdish this carbon, but he did so on behalf of the kapara of Shimon. So which one of the two, if he's mechal the kedusha of the carbon, has to add a chomesh? So Rabbi Yochanan says it's the Magdish who has to add the Chomesh. Umiskaper Oset Tmura. And again, in that same split between Reuven and Shimon, where Reuven was the Magdish, but Shimon is the Miskaper, who is going to have the rights of Tmura? So here we say it's the Miskaper has the rights of Tmura. Do you see where it flips around? If you're talking about Chomesh, so it's the Magdish who has to be Mosif Chomesh. If you're talking about Tmura, it's the Miskaper who is Oset Tmura. So now we have a problem. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is committed to the position that it's the Miskaper who generates Tmura. And now we have a case of Yoresh, and Yoresh is Meimir, if there's only one Yoresh. How could he be Meimir when he's bringing the father's carbon? It should be the father who has the rights to be Meimir.
Well, who's the Miskaper? The Yorish is the Miskaper.
So that's going to be the problem. To understand this kasha, the Rashiv is going to dedicate the entire essay here, which is called Ve'inyan Bailim Le'inyan Tmura, to wonder what's going on here. The Gemara seems to be accusing Rabbi Yochanan of maintaining the position that in a case of Yerusha, it's not the Yorish who's the Miskaper.
Well, in a case where it's Lo Kanya.
No, I'm saying according to Rabbi Yochanan. Did I mention, I'm sorry, if I didn't mention Rabbi Yochanan, I meant to say Rabbi Yochanan. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Yorish is not the Miskaper. That's what the Gemara seems to be accusing him. And that creates a stira, because the Miskaper is the only one who can make Tmura. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Yorish is not the Miskaper. How could he make Tmura?
Well,
we assume that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Yorish is the miskaper. He's not the bailim of the Karbon, but he's the miskaper. And that's how we understood the whole sugya about one Yorish versus two Yorishim. That the Gemara said, all right, you know what? I don't understand why you exclude two Yorishim from being Meimir. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, they're not shutfim. They don't have a kinyan on. But the Gemara never had an issue about one Yorish, meaning if you don't have the issue of shutfim, then the Yorish certainly could be miskaper, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan never denied, he never robbed the Yorish of the status of a miskaper. That's what we thought. Rabbi Yochanan robs the Yorish the status of the Bala Karbon, but he's miskaper of a Karbon Ovid. You remember we had long discussions about that. So if he's miskaper of a Karbon Ovid, then certainly Lishitas Rabbi Yochanan would say he could be Meimir. Again, if there are two Yorishim, then you have a different problem. That, as we said before, if you have two miskaprim on the same carbon, they want to effectuate a tamura, they have to come together as a joint, you know, union, as a cartel. And that we can't do because the Torah says, im yamir, heimir yamir, meaning chad yorish velo treyorish. So that I understood. But I never had a problem with chad yorish. Now the Gemara is saying I have a problem with chad yorish because I'm a miskaper, ain't also tamura. I'm sorry, because I'm a skaper also tamura. And if I'm a skaper also tamura, then the Yorish according to Rabbi Yochanan, insofar as Yerushalayim Kanya, is not the miskaper. That's what's going to bother us. There are a lot of different aspects of this Gemara's kasha which are going to bother us. So let's take a look inside. So again, everything comes down to the two words, Hechi, where is it? Hechi Meimer. I'm going to just underline that in my Gemara, so that my eye will always catch those words, Hechi Meimir. Now, let's take a step back for a moment. This whole sugya of Hechi Meimir, meaning that the Yoresh is not a miskaper, according to the premise of the Makshon, is all an attack on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says Yerushalayim Kanya.
The Makshon of Rabbi Asi is of the impression you can't be the stopper unless you're the Baal of
Kar. Correct.
I mean, Yochanan says he can split it. I mean, it doesn't seem such a big deal.
I'm just saying he's learning in Rabbi Yochanan that you can't split it. You cannot split it. Not the way we want it.
Right. Okay.
So therefore he has a problem with the fact that a Yorish could be Meimir, because if he can't split it, then the Yorish is not the Miskaper. But let's go, let's focus for a moment, just a moment of that time, on a different nuance of this sugya. Let's add the following script to the Gemara. Bishlema, if not for Rabbi Yochanan, who says Yerusha lo kanya, if I would maintain Yerusha kanya, I understand very well why the Yoresh could be Meimir. Why? Because he becomes the Balak Karbon, and therefore he becomes also the Miskaper. And everything fits very well. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you shall lo kanya, that's where we have a problem, because presumably the Yoresh is not the Miskaper, and if he's not the Miskaper, how can he be Meimir? So Ashiva says the following, Mevur b'gemara, Dakusha Hechi Meimir Eina Ella Midiver Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we have to add another paragraph here. The Gemara's Kasha is based on two premises, both of which Rabbi Yochanan maintains. And that leads us to a stira as far as the Yorish being Meimir. Premise number one is that Yorish lo kanya. Premise number two is that hamiskaper osa tamura. Let's be very rebellious now against the Gemara. Let's leave out miskaper eino kone. Okay, I'm sorry, that miskaper osa tamura. Let's say I don't hold miskaper eino tamura. Right, Rabbi Yochanan has a series of three chidushim. One of which is that the miskaper osa tamura, which means if you split between the magdish and the miskaper, then even though we've already established in the first chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan that it's the magdish who pays chomesh, But nevertheless, as far as Tvura is concerned, it's not the Magnish who's also Tvura, but rather it's the Meskaper. Let's forget that. Let's assume that the Magnish also Tvura. Just like we said that the Magnish is Mosif Keren, is Mosif Chomesh, the Magnish is also Tvura. Before Rabbi Yochanan. Even if I hold the Magnish is also Tvura, I still have a problem in the case of Yorish, because the Yorish is not the Magnish. Meaning, the Gemara is saying the following, Bishlam according to Rabbi Yochanan, I have a problem. I'm sorry. Bishlam if I don't hold like Rabbi Yochanan, meaning if I don't accept Rabbi Yochanan's Shita that the Meskaper also Tvura, if I would have assumed that it's the, in a case where there's a split, it's Reuven the Magnish who makes Tvura, not Shimon who's the Meskaper, then I understand very well why the Yorish is also Tvura. Says Rashida, that doesn't make any sense. Why is the Gemara compelled, in order to torpedo and undermine this halacha of Yoresh Osa Tmura, to quote Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush that it's the Meskaper Osa Tmura? And if it was the Magnish Osa Tmura, then I'm in better shape. Then I do understand why it is that Yoresh is Osa Tmura. The Yoresh is not the Magnish.
Because the bigger Chiddush is the second one, is where we say Meskaper Osa Tmura. That Rav Asi wouldn't have any question about whether that the Yorish can't do Tmura when it's the Magnish who goes to Tmura, because it was the Magnish. That was obvious. The question is only a question on the second premise of Rabbi Yochanan, that it's the Meskaper also Tmura. That's why it was such a good question. The other one's too obvious a question.
You mean to say the didn't bother asking the question?
We know that the Yorish is not the Meskadesh. So how can you even have a Habani to say he's, if you held that it's the Meskadesh, he said Tmura, these
but again, the Gemara never questions the following two premises. Premise number one, that the Yorish makes Tmura. Premise number two, that two Yorishim don't make Tmura. So as far as two Yorishim don't make Tmura, the Gemara had a whole drasha to justify that. But the Gemara never questioned the drasha that the double language Hamer Yamir means that Yorish also Tmura if he's only one. That was a premise that the Gemara embraced without question. But why? The Yorish is not the Magnish. And if we would assume logically that just like the Magnish is the one who effectuates the din of Chilul with the Tosefes Chomesh, not the Meskaper, then it would make sense to assume that the Magnish is the one to effectuate the Tmura. But now it's saying that Yoresh Osa Tmura. Why is the Yoresh making Tmura? So you'll tell me, okay, the Yoresh is Kona. Okay, he's Kona, but he's not the Magdish. Do you see where the Rashid is leading us? He says mathematically we can only justify this sugya if we assume that the word Magdish in this context should not be taken literally. And what word should we substitute for the word Magdish?
Bailim.
It's the Bailim who makes Tmura, according to the other Mandiyom. It's the pre-Rabbi Yochanan. And if the Bailim is also Tmura, now Yoresh is also Tmura. And this wouldn't bother me to use that because the Yoresh is the Bailim. Why? Because Yerusha Kanya. So therefore, we're up in arms here because since Rabbi Yochanan holds Yerusha Lo Kanya, the Mimonavshach, the Yorish doesn't have the status neither of the Magdish, i.e. the Bailim, because Yerusha Lo Kanya, nor does he have the status of the Meskaper, because the Gemara assumes that only the Bailim are Meskaper.
But that means that who would have to be the Chomesh? If now they're changing the definition of Meskadesh to be also the Bailim, so I mean, if you see Yerusha Kanya, then the
Yorish has to pay the Chomesh.
Is that universally agreed upon?
I assume so, because again, there's no one else in the picture, so...
Well, you can say that there's no...
So, for example, let's say you give me a gift, right, of a behemas, balas, a carbon that's a bal mum, I would, if I was Mechalit, insofar as I'm the Bailim, I would have to pay the Chomesh. There's no one else, especially in the case of Yorish, there's no one else because he's physically not in the world, but even in the case of Nosei Matana...
Well, that's not what we hold. I mean, there are many, many exemptions to Chomesh. I mean, Isha doesn't do Chomesh, I thought the Baal Matana doesn't, the Kamakawa Matana doesn't do Chomesh.
Well, again, the only reason why a Kamakawa Matana might not do Chomesh is only if you hold that Maisa Sheni Moma Gavoa. And even that, the Ravid goes back and forth. You remember the two Teretz in the Ravid. So there's one Teretz in the Ravid, which would assume that if you're all like Rabbi Meir, that Meisr Sheni is Mom Gavoa, if I can't give it to you as a Matana, you as the Makabah Matana would not pay Chomesh. But let's assume not like Rabbi Meir. And then there's one day in the Raita that even Rav Meir would agree that even though Meiser is Mo and Gavoh, nevertheless, there still is a way of transferring ownership on a Meiser Sheni. So if I transfer ownership on the Meiser Sheni, if I'm successful in doing so, then you become the Bailin, and you would have to pay the extra Chomesh. So there's no chiddush to say that a bialin has to pay chomesh, and insofar as Yerusha Lo Kanya is concerned, then we have a problem. But if you hold Yerusha Kanya, we have no problem, because then the Yoresh is the bialin. He would have to pay the chomesh, and he would have the rights to effectuate tamura. So let's see it inside. He says, Mevur mikusha sagamara di eino elo midiver of Yochanan miskaper osa tmura al I magish hayosa tmura lo kashaluhu heich yoresh meimir v'tzorech indo ya yoreshim eino makdishim el aviyam hikdishim v'amay nicha l'tzad zeh if we hold that the magdish is meimir v'tzorech lomar dal la'tzad dal magdish osa tmura eina dafka magdish. The word magdish means bialim as opposed to the miskaper. So if Reuven is the magdish, meaning he's the bialim, and Shimon is going to be miskaper b'karban Reuven, elakol mishu bialim al karban came to the Yarshu as bialus hakarban. If you hold Yerusha Kanya, din hushi amiru. Now again, he doesn't address the case of Makabo Matana, but I would assume the same thing should apply to Makabo Matana. But that came in the Svirle, but here's where the problem is. This is Gemara's Kasha. Svirle the Rabbi Yochanan, the Miskaper, Dafka Oset Murlafuke, Bailim, because again the word Magnishir means Bailim, is Kasha the Gemara, the Yorishayna Miskaper, V'ein Meimir. How could it be possible that the Yorish is Meimir, since he doesn't have the status of a miskaper, and Rabbi Yochanan said only someone who has the status of a miskaper can be meimir. But if we hold that Yerusha Kanya, then the Yorish certainly can be meimir, because he becomes the bialim. And even though the literal translation of the Gemara is that the magdish is meimir, but magdish means he who has the bialis over the karma. And that would be according to the other side, not that the miskaper is meimir like Rav Yochanan, but according to the phantom Bar Pluta Rav Yochanan, whoever the Bar Pluta is, he holds that the magdish is meimir. And who's the magdish? That's going to be the bialim on the carbon. In the case of Yerusha, if you hold Yerusha Kanya, then everything works out beautifully.
Does anyone else bring this insight into?
Yeah, well, all this is based on an article which I don't have. You could probably find it for me in a book called Zichron Shmuel, which you'll see in the paragraph that starts for Hagrash. Yeah. In other words, we're in the first paragraph. If you fast forward to the third paragraph, well, the fourth paragraph actually, Hagrash Razovsky, paragraph number four. So he tells you that this is an article called Zichron Shmuel. So if you'd like, maybe you could find it. He tells you exactly which siman it is. So Ben, do you have chelik aleph? I think you should have chelik aleph somewhere in this madafei svarim here. Are we still on page Pei Gimel, the paragraph of Kevan, or we already moved on to another page? Now, if you're not finding it, you're going to accuse me that I took. But no, this says bears on it. So, okay, found it. Okay. See, can you open it to Pei Gimel?
Sure.
Pei Gimel. Second paragraph. Okay. Now, if we Rabosa can get by the second paragraph, I'll be a happy camp. I read this a few times. He says the following. If the concept of Magdish Meimir is to be identical with Bailim Mimirim, and therefore the case where Reuven is the Magdish and Shimon is the Miskaper, now let's get the lingo down. He's calling that Magdish Al Menashe Iskaper Bo Chaveru. This is a very benevolent fellow, very magnanimous. He's a good Samaritan, right? So he's magnish the animal, which costs him a good couple of bucks, on behalf of the kapara of his friend Shimon. In that case, who's going to do the tmura? Who has rights to do the tmura? And the answer is, before Rabbi Yochanan, it is Reuven the magnish who remains the Bala Karban, even though he's forfeited his kapara power over to Shimon. He is still in the driver's seat to create tmura. Why? Because he's the Bala Karban. Again, that's before Rabbi Yochanan. Ula Hatzad, according to this man, the Omar, the magnish osa tmura, Yochel Hagdish. I'm sorry, Yochel Ahamir, right? Even though he's not the Miskaper. He already forfeited the Kapar and transferred it to someone else. Doha Yorshim, Af Ichashivi Bailim, Mikolakom, came in the Salkadite of the Eno Miskaprim. He says, according to this Havavina in the Gemara, that the Yorish is not the Miskaper. Havi Kalmanashi is Kapumbo Chavero. Well, this is the tough part. I'm sorry, I'm going to apologize here for not understanding what he's saying. Latsad de Magdish Oset Mura Yochel Lahamir. Okay, so far he's talking about the classical case of a magdish al menashe is kapur bo chavero. The magdish remains the bailim, and therefore, if you hold against Rabbi Yochanan that magdish osa tmura, then he can be meimer. That's poshut. But now he applies this to the case of yorshim. And he says the following. According to the man the Omar, who says that the Yoresh is Kone, however, why do we justify that he can be Meimir, this Yoresh? And the answer is because Magdish Meimir. And what does Magdish mean in this context? The Yorish was not the Magdish. The answer is he was the Bailim. If we're assuming Yerusha Kanya. So even if I'll grant you, again, that's the part I don't understand, but even if I grant you that the Yorish is not the Miskaper, but he can still be Meimir based on the fact that he's the Bailim, which means he's the Magdish, so to speak. Not literally, but Alpin did.
And if he's a Bailim, why is he not the Miskaper?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. He says the Salka Daitach, the Ein Miskaper. I'm not sure what I understand. Well, what does that mean, he's not the Miskaper? Again, the Gemara thinks that's true according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that Yerusha Lo Kanya. But he's talking about the Man Yomer who holds Yerusha Kanya, meaning he's trying to work out the Bishlema, I call it. The Bishlema means that I understand why the Yorish is Meimir if I don't have Rabbi Yochanan,
right.
Which means I assume, number one, that the Yorish is Kona, and number two, I assume that the Bailim, right, that we're substituting the word Bailim for Magdish, is Meimir. But I don't understand why he needs this whole thing, because if you hold Yerusha Kanya, then for sure the Yoresh is not only the Bailim, but he's also the Miskaper. Somehow he's wedging in this case of Hamagdish al Menashe's Kapur bo Chavero to the case of Yerusha, even according to Yerusha Kanya.
The usual pgam in this case of someone dying is that, yeah, is that it's a case of shalal l'shman, really. I mean, because the father did it for himself. All of a sudden, Abdul Bailim calls his son, right? So maybe the fact
you,
that
you mamish mean shalal l'shman, or are you just using that as a...
No, I think it is, to me that it always sounded like that was I mean, if the father is not for shekarim for himself,
right?
That's it. He's the bialim. He's the one who's not for
shekarim. Oh, you don't mean shalom l'shma. You mean shini bialim.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm sorry.
So it talks about shini bialim.
So now along comes the son.
Right.
And where the hamim is to say that when the son fits into his father's shoes and he's now the owner, he's the yoresh and shekanya and all that. Then he's the one that was now designated for him. He's the bialim, right? Maybe what he's saying is that even if he is the kohen, because he's Rushakanya, going to the Bishlam, right, you still have a problem, because at the end of the day, it still doesn't change the fact that it's a shinui bialim here. The shinui bialim means I want to give it to you, so I am changing ownership, but I can't. Korban isn't allowed to have shinui bialim. It's a psul and the carbon, even and usually
I lost you a little bit here, because you know it's a question of linguistics. When I hear the term shin and bialim, what I think of
is the kohen had the ring, the wrong person in it.
Right.
But the maaser, that means that the kohen is not misyachis to the right person. It's supposed to go to you, but now I had in mind it goes to him. So as soon as the carbon is not connected to the right person, it doesn't work. So here it was connected to the father. Along comes the son, he's Yorish. And if you want to say that he's Yorish Yerusha Kanya,
right,
means he's now the full-fledged owner of this object, but Lamaisa, he wasn't the one connected to the carbon. In other words, the happening is to say that it doesn't fix that. Yerusha doesn't fix the fact that we have Shinui Baal, you are not the Baal that the carbon was designated for. And even if he's a Yerusha Kanya, it doesn't work.
But again, you know,
are we changing
our premises? My premise was that if Yerusha Kanya, then now we're going to be makriv of the carbon on behalf of the Yorish.
Right.
He's not assuming.
He's just saying there's no kapara in that case. You can't get kapara in the case.
Why? Why is that?
What I'm offering is a possibility. The reason why there's a disconnect and the kapara opportunity is lost, because at the end of the day, you're not the halakh bailam of this carbon. You're not the kapara bailam. You're the imam is bailam, you're kosher mishmah, but you're not the bailam as far as kapara is concerned. That goes out the window when the father died. There's no longer just why, because you have a rule. This is called Shini Bailam. He was the Baal of the carbon for Kapara. There's nobody else who can have a substitute for that. I mean, again, this is just the hot. I don't know if this is what we're talking Hatmin or whatever, but I'm saying that would be the rationale I can think of as why, if I say the Yerusha Kanya, the owner and the son, is now a full fledged owner, he still can't get Kapara. Why not? Well, that's the only reason I can think of. I just was offering it up a thought.
So his assumption is that when the Gemara is analyzing this problem or raising this problem, how could the Yorish be Meimir? The Gemara is assuming that the Yorish is not a Miskaper. I thought that the Gemara was assuming the Yorish is not a Miskaper based on Rabbi Yochanan, because Yerusha Lo Kanya, he's saying that right now the Gemara is holding that the Yorish is not a Miskaper, even if I hold Yerusha Kanya. And therefore, if Yerusha but now he's saying that since you hold that Magdish Meimir, therefore this would be a case of Magdish Meimir.
If you call it the Yoresh, then the Magdish.
Right, and why do we call Yoresh the Magdish? Because he's the Balam of the Korban. He's not the Miskaper. It doesn't matter, because we're holding now that Magdish Meimir. And Magdish means Bailim.
Sure.
And therefore, everything is fine. Right. Oh. So now let's see what the problem is. Let's go on. So again, now we're holding Latzad the Magdish Osa Tmur Yochalaham. The Yorshim Afalpi Af Ich Shiva Bailim. Came into Salkadak, Tatum is Kaprim. Having called Manashi is Kapu Chavero, the Apple Piche, Miss Bayer Mikusa Gemara, the Magdish Oset Mura, is Yecholim Lahomim. And that was not an issue, right? That's the Bishlam that I quote. Ubal Karchach, De HaMagdish, well, I don't think you're turning the page. Don't follow me in this case, because I just caught up with you and I'm on pay base. But you've been on pay base for a while.
The end of paragraph right. For Kavan.
He says, Ubal Karchach, the Magdish, who are bailim, af b'magdish al menas shis kapu bo acher. So again, let's just summarize the structure, the mechanics here, according to this understanding. The bishlema goes like this: if I hold Yerusha Kanya, then our situation in the case of Yerusha is exactly identical to a case of a magdish al menas shis kapu bo chavera. Why? Because even if Yerusha Kanya, but that's not as far as the Kapara is concerned, And therefore, we have a case in which we have a Magdish who's not the Miskaper. How could you have a case of a Magdish who's not the Miskaper? That's Almanashi Iskaper Bo Chavero. That's my magnanimous case, right? And yet, the Gemara says, we have no problem with the fact that this Yorish can be Meimer. And the reason for that is because when you split between the Magdish and the Miskaper, it's the Magdish, namely the Bala Karbon, who has the power to be Meimer. And therefore, this Yorish, insofar as he's the Bala Karbon, because I hold Yerusha Kanya, he can be Meimer. That's more or less a summary of what the Rosh Yeshiva derived from our Sugya.
So the whole point of contention here between Bar Plukta and the government is whether it's the Magdish is Meimir or Miskaper is Meimir.
Correct. And if the Magdish is Meimir, then we understand very well why the Yorish could be Meimir. Why? Because he becomes the Magdish.
Right.
Insofar as he's the Bible. But if you know, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the Yorish doesn't have a status neither of the Magdish, and even if he did, that wouldn't help us, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that in a split between the Magdish and the Miskaper, it's the Miskaper who's Meimir, not the Magdish. Okay, we're going to change that later on, but that's what he's holding now. Add to boot that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Yerusha lo kanya, which the Gemara understands to mean that he's not the Miskaper. So what right, so what, to what extent can we put the Yorish into the driver's seat as far as Tmur is concerned? He's neither the Magdish, i.e. the Bailin, because Yerusha lo kanya, nor is he the Miskaper, because if you're not the Bailin, you're not the Miskaper. So what status, that's the Gemara's kasha, what status does the Yorish have vis-a-vis Tmur? Well, now he has a sugya in Masechta Menachos. So what happened was a guy was Magdish a Karbon, and generally speaking, the rule of thumb, that's Rav Huna, is that the status of the Karbon of an Akum is that of an Ola. So if it's an Ola, then there's not going to be any Achilas Bailin. What's going to be fascinating is if we don't accept Rav Huna, and if we assume that the Karbon is a Karbon Shlamim, okay, let's say the guy designated as a Karbon Shlamim, then what the guy understands is that he can't eat the Karbon, because a guy can't eat Kachim, but the Israel is going to eat the Shlamim. He may even designate a specific Yid, you know, and he say, I want that Yid to eat from my Karbon. So the Gemara Sakasha, the Tanya, we have a Braisa Akum Shesnadi Lavi Shlamim. If the guy wanted to bring a Karbon Shlamim, is no name li Yisrael, for Yisrael Ochla. So therefore that's a kasha of Huna. Rav Huna assumes that ipso facto, in any case, the carbon of an Akum becomes Ola. Here we see clearly from a Braisa that no, it's a, if he, the guy, designated as what? As Shlomim, it is Shlomim. I Shlomim, there's a din of Achila Sabasa. Who's going to eat the Basa? The guy himself can't eat the Basa. So the answer is the guy designated a particular Yisrael, and that Yisrael is going to eat the Basa. If, on the other hand, he designated a Kohen, is Nostal the Kohen? A Kohen Ochla. It doesn't have to be Yisrael. There's no problem if a Kohen eats from Shlomim, and that's okay. So now we have a stira. We have a stira between a braisa and the statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna seems to assume that the guy's carbon is what? Is an ola. And the braisa assumes that if the guy designated the carbon as a carbon shlamim, then it's a carbon shlamim. And what are we going to do with the carbon shlamim? We're going to give the basar over to somebody to eat the basar. But who's the somebody here? The guy can't eat the carbon. And we're going to have to assume, therefore, that in the context of the guy being Magdish Ashlamim, he designated the Basar on behalf of a particular Yisrael or a particular Kohen. Amar Rava, the Hasam Kishisnadev Almanashi is Kapir Bahen Yisrael, Yisrael Ochlan, Almanashi is Kapir Kohen Ochlan. So the Gemara says the following, that there's a stomach case where the guy didn't specify, and he was Magdish a Karbon, that Karbon, says Rav Huna, becomes an Ola. Then there's another case where the guy wants to split between the Bailus of the Karbon and the Kapara of the Karbon. says Rava that in such a case he can do so, and he could makdish shlomim al menas she Yisrael yochal es habasar v'yiskapir bahen. Chazinon. Now the Rosh Yeshiva takes over. What do I want to derive from this sugya in Masechta Menachos? The kishes nadvu al menashi is kaper ben Yisrael. So let's assume that the Gemara Rava tried to reconcile the Braisa with Rav Huna by saying that the Braisa is not a stira to Rav Huna. The case of the Braisa can be accepted even by Rav Huna. What's the case? Where the guy was misnadev al menas she's kaper behen Yisrael, and the Braisa says that who eats the basar in such a case? The Yisrael. So we see that who gets the rights to eat the basar? It's the miskaper. So again, the one piece of the puzzle here that's missing, which is unclear to me. For that, we'd have to open up the Gemara Menachos. It seems that the final yishuv of Rava is not that the, as we said earlier, that the guy who is mafresh this korban, he designated a particular Yisrael for achilas habasar, but rather he designated a particular Yisrael for the kaparas hakorban. But ipso facto, by virtue of the fact that this Yisrael becomes the miskaper, he has rights to eat the basar. If that be the case, he says, Muchach, di ena magdish mikri bailin. So the Rosh Hashiva now lays down a premise, which we have to see where he gets it from. And his premise is that bailus on the korban expresses itself in the rights to eat the basar.
That was a leap of faith. I mean, that was not.
I mentioned this once in the name of Rav Oza. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
You help me, Jeff, remember his name. Oriav Oze, the Rosh Yeshiva of Itri. So I once heard from him in a shir, he said, and it's the only part of the shir that I remember, that if Reuven is Magdish a Karma, but he gives the Kapar over to Shimon, then Shimon has the rights to eat the basal.
But he didn't say that Shimon comes to violence.
I don't know what he said. I don't remember that part.
Well,
he's saying the following, that how do you identify Bailus? What gives a person, you know, you need a barometer, so to speak, to a litmus test to determine that he's the bialim, and the answer is, who has the rights to eat the basa?
Okay.
And then that's nogea to sugyas in Baba Kama, in Nezikim. For example, if you're mazik my shar, and let's say it was Reuven, it's a shoshal hegdesh, who does he pay? Right? Let's say Shimon, I'm sorry, Levi owns a shor, and the shor is a shor nagchan. So who does he pay damages to? Does he pay to Reuven, who's the magdish, who's the bala korban, or does he pay to Shimon, who's the miskaper? And the answer is that if Shimon is the miskaper, he gets rights to eat the basar. And if he gets rights to eat the basar, then Levi, the owner of the shor nagchan, has to pay damages to Shimon. So in this case, where there's a split between Reuven and Shimon, Reuven was the Magdish and Shimon was Almanashi's Kaper. Shimon is the owner of the Karban as far as the Basar is concerned. And although the Rosh Hashiva here in Nefesh Tov is quoting a sugya in Menachos, I think there are other sugyas, maybe in Psachim, that would prove the same point. That the Bailus over the Karban, if we want to measure that bailus, we want to know who eats the basar. And what we see from the sugya is that the miskaper becomes the ochel es habasar. And if our premise is that the ochel es habasar is the bailim, then it comes out from this sugya, which again is going to be a problem for everything we saw in our sugya here at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, that if someone is magdish the korban al menashe is kaper bo chavero, then it's chavero who become the bala korban. Again, all based on this whole string of premises. If my premise is that the miskaper is the one who eats the basar, if my premise is that bailus over a korban is measured by the achilas basar, then therefore I come to the conclusion in the case of Reuven magdish for Shimon miskaper, Shimon is the bala korban. Let me just see if I'm right. You give me just 1 minute just to see if what I told you is Baba Maisa or fits into the words. He says the following: Chazina hisnadvu, which means that there's a magdish, Amenashi is kaper ben Yisrael, Choshev Yisrael amiskaper bailim ala basar vahu haochlo. That's what he derives from the sugya in Menachos. So it's not the magdish who eats the basar, but rather the miskaper. Oh, here's the punchline, and I think I was on target here. Again, at least as far as the words of the Rashi, he says muchach. What we see from this, she'ein ha-magdish mikri bailim ela miskaper. Why? What's the key concept that he's introducing here? Again, let me see if I can get you on board here. He's claiming that if you want to know who the Bailim is between the Magdish and the Miskaper, I'm going to prove to you that it's the Miskaper. The Miskaper is the Bailim. That's going to be very problematic for us. How do I see that it's the Miskaper who's the Bailim? What are the two words that we have to add here to the equation? Achilas HaBosar. Are you with me? Yeah. The Achilas HaBosar becomes, in this frame of reference, the pivotal determining factor. Why? Because how do I express my bialis? You know, we can fight from now till doomsday. You know, you'll say you're the bialim, you were magdish the carbon, you shelled out, you wrote the check, you know, for the $500 to buy the carbon. And I'm going to claim, no, ich bin bialim. What makes me the bialim? Because I'm the miskaper. Sounds like a pretty good debate. You know, Shnai Moksa Vitalis, who with a real bialim stand up? Reuven says, well, I was the magdish. Shimon says, I'm the miskaper. And you, Reuven, agreed to transfer the kapor power over to me. So I become the Bailim. No. I'm the Magdish, I remain the Bailim. So the Rashiva says, how do we know what's the cause of Ashlishi Ayachriya Beinayim? Who eats the boss? That's going to determine who's the Bala Karbon. So he has this following equation. Bala Karbon equals the Ochel as HaBos. Again, that's his equation. Now ask yourself, in the case of Zem Magdish v'Zem Miskaper, who eats the basar? And for that he stretches his arm out to a sugya in Menachos. And based on the sugya in Menachos, he comes to the conclusion that it's the Miskaper eats the basar. Well, if Baal HaKarbon equals the Ochel as HaBasar, and if the Miskaper is the Ochel as HaBasar, then by law of I think we used to call this modus tollens when I was a kid. Yeah, so that by definition, what you're telling me is that the Miskaper is the Bala Karbon. Now, let's give me 1 minute to see if I'm on the right track. The cave under Mavur, the Miskaper Mikri Bailim, Horaya, because the Miskaper is Ochel Bosar, Veloa Makdish, Imkain, Lemandi Omer Makdish Oset Mura. Okay, so far I'm still okay, right? The Magdish Oset Mura, which again is the Bar Pluta of Rabbi Yochanan in our sugya, and the Gemara says that therefore a Yoresh could be Meimir. Okay, so a Magdish Oset Mura, which now if we make the next step, Yoresh Oset Mura, Tzorech Lomar Dahainu Dafka Magdish Velo Bailim. Okay, I'll have to read that 5 times. Vahadra Kushil Aduchta Heich Nema de Yoresh Meimir came unto Eino Magdish. Okay, let me go back and see if I can pick up the missing pieces here. He says the following: Im Kain Lamandi Omar Magdish Oset Mura, that if there's a split between Reuven and Shimon, Reuven is what? Is the Magdish. Hey, Lamandi Omar Magdish Oset Mura. Right, so we said that so that is a split, right? Let me go over it one more time. There's a split between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Magdish, and Shimon is the Miskaper. Okay? And we just finished proving from the sugya in Zvachim that what does the word Magdish mean? It has to mean violent, because the Gemara says, right? That was the whole thesis of the Rashi. How do I know that Magdish means violent? Because the Gemara says that if I go according to the Maniyog, who says Magdish also Tmura, I have no problem with the Yoresh, that he can make Tmura. The Yoresh is not a Magdish. The answer is the Yoresh is the violent, even though he's not what? He's not the Miskaper. And Mandi Omer Magdish Oset Tmura. Right, we're going according to the Bar Pluta Rabbi Yochanan. So we have now a split between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Magdish, and Shimon is what? Shimon is the miskater, okay? And who's going to have the power to make tmura? It's the Magdish, according to that mandiyom. Tzorach lomar, dahainu dafka Magdish v'lo bailin. So you're going to have to say that the word Magdish here, according to this mandiyom, means Magdish v'lo bailin. How do I know that? Because I just finished proving to you that the miskaper is the bailin. So, what does it mean, Magdish Osa Tmura? The Magdish is Reuven, he was Magdish the Korban. Shimon was what? Was the Miskaper. And now we just finished proving that Shimon became the Bailin, right? Because he eats the Basar, if you remember. So now, we're going to have to assume that the Magdish Osa Tmura, even though what? He's not the Bailin. Does everybody see that? Because you have a split here between Reuven and Shimon, and the Mandiyomer who argues with Rabbi Yochanan says that it's Reuven who's Meimir, right? He does the Tmur. And why does he do the Tmur? Because he's the Magdish. Ah, Shimon is the Miskaper, he's the Bala Korban. The answer is no. Who has rights and the ability to be Meimir? It's only the Magdish, even though he's not the Bala. So the Rashi asks, Hadra Kushtal Duchta, now everything that we built up, our whole castle, is going to now crumble in front of our eyes. Heich Neima, how can we say that the Gemara understood, according to the Mandi Omer, that Magdish Osa Tmura, why the Yorish is Osa Tmura, that was never a Kasha, that was the Bishlema. He says, came unto Enom Magdishim. Okay, now I'm ready for you.
I have a question. I was just helping you get to that point because I was. Wanted you to hear the premise.
So what were you saying? Sometimes you have to work it out yourself.
All I said is you were saying it was a split between the Mishaper and the Mahdish, and I was pointing out, and the Mishaper is the Bailam, and then you didn't want me to say that, and you had to get there yourself, even though he said it the last
okay, that's
he
said good. He said that to make me feel good. So again, Rabbi Osei, just to summarize, you know, here's the problem. Premise number one is that the Gemara has no problem with justifying the authority. That's not a good word. The power. What word should I use? The power. What? You have a word for me? The power of the Yorish to be Meimir. If I hold against Rabbi Yochanan, why? Because if I don't like Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the Miskaper who's Meimir. It's the Magdish who's Meimir. Then we. What do you mean? There's no problem. And you want to justify that the Yoresh is Meimir? If the Yoresh is Meimir, then how can you tell me Hamagdish Meimir? So again, we're assuming that Yoresh is a situation. This premise in the Shiva bothers me a lot, but which I don't understand. But his assumption is that in the case of a Yoresh, at least at this point in the Gemara sees the Yoresh as exactly the same as Zem Magdish Al Menashe Zeyis Kapir, the Reuven and Shimon scenario that we spoke about before. I don't, frankly, I'm not yet comfortable with that. But for some reason, Rashi is very comfortable with that. So now you have Reuven and Shimon, and we'll change the names. We'll call it Reuven and Chanoch, right? So the son is now Yorish's father, and we have no problem with the fact that Chanoch can effectuate a tmura. Frank Rashi, what do you mean? We have no problem. We have a major problem because we're holding that Magdish. In a case where there's a split between the Magdish and the Miskaper, which Rashi assumes that's Yerusha fits into that pattern. Yerusha fits into that pattern. Then says the Rashiva, okay, you know, I can justify why the Yorish is Meimir, because I'm going to make the following equation, that Magdish equals Bailim. Oh, if Magdish equals Bailim, if we could substitute the word Bailim for the word Magdish, then Yorish Kanya, according to this Mandi Omar, and therefore the Yorish could be Meimir. Now the Rosh Yeshiva says, but I'll prove to you I'll prove to you from the sugya there that, as a matter of fact, the Yoresh is, he's not willing to say the Yoresh is in this copy. I'll prove to you that the word Magdish means what? It means Magdish literally, and it doesn't mean Miskaper. Right? It doesn't mean, just 1 second, I'll prove to you from the sugya there that the word Magdish, that Magdish has to be separate, because what goes on over here, it's the Miskaper. Oh, so in the classical case of Reuven and Shimon, forget about Yorish for a minute. In the classical case of Reuven and Shimon, where Reuven was Magdish al Menashe's Kaper Go Shimon, according to Magdish Meimir, he's not the Bailin. Why? Because the Miskaper eats the Basar, and if the Miskaper eats the Basar, then he's the Bailin.
Does he know that?
That's a sugya in Avodah Zarah, in Menachos. I don't mind going over it one more time. For me, every time I chazed it, I get a little bit more convinced that I may understand what's going on. But that doesn't bother me. Let's just again we'll be makdim asama uchar. Let's go to the punchline of this paragraph, and then we go back to his proof. He's assuming, based on his sugya in Menachos, that if you want to know your litmus test, who is the real Bailim of the carbon, that the Miskaper is the Bailim of the carbon, and that's based on another premise, that Bailus on the carbon could be tested, I call it the barometer, the measuring rod, is who eats the carbon. So in a case of Zem Agnish and Zem Miskaper, who eats the Basar? The Miskaper. That means, based on the sugya, again we go, that he, the Miskaper, is the Bailim. Oh, so now we have a problem. Why? Because there's a Mali Yomer who says that in a case where Reuven was Magdish the Karban, Almanas that Shimon should be Miskaper, who's Meimir? The Magdish is Meimir. That has to mean that the Magdish is Meimir despite the fact that he's not what? He's not the Bailim. He can't be the Bailim, because the Bailim is the Miskaper, because it's the Bailim, it's the Miskaper who eats the Basar, and he's the Bailim. So then the word Magdish, in the context of Zem Magdish v'Zem Miskaper, Magdish Osetmura does not mean Bailim Osetmura, because the Miskaper is the true Bailim, but Magdish Osetmura. Now we swing back to Yorish. Why? Because the Gemara says, I don't have any problem, according to this man, the Yomer, if the fact that Yorish is Meimir. What do you mean you don't have a problem? You have a major problem. He's not the Magdish. So you'll tell me he's the Bailim. But now we're holding that if there's a tug of war between the Magdish and the Bailim, I'm sorry, the Magdish and the Miskaper, who's going to, according to this man, the Yomer, who's going to be Meimir? It's the Magdish. So with all due respect to the Miskaper, and we've already elevated him to the status of the Bala Karman, and he's going to eat the Basar and so forth, nevertheless, he's not the one who has the Schus Tmura. Who has the Schus Tmura? The Magdish. No, so why does the Gemara ask a Kasha here on Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara should have asked a Kasha according to Bar Plukta, Rabbi Yochanan. Even if I grant you that Yerusha Kanya, but nevertheless, with all the respect to the Yoresh, who, as you say, might be called a Bailim, and he might be called the Miskaper, and he might eat the Basar, and I'll give you the whole 9 yards. But nevertheless, he's not the one who's Meimir. It's the Magdish who's Meimir. Because we saw in the case of Zeb Magdish and Zeb Miskaper, that nevertheless, with all due respect to the Miskaper, who eats the Basar, and he's called a Bailim, nevertheless, it's the Magdish who's Meimir. No, if the Magdish is Meimir, how does he understand and justify that the Yoresh could be Meimir? I think I finally got it. You feel you're a genius. I my guess is that you have an IQ somewhere up to like 180 at least, you know.
Closer to 80. All right. Rabbi doesn't have to put yourself there. You can say I have 180 and Hashem gave it to me.
No, it's true. Yechiel is, he's always a few steps ahead of me. So, especially when it gets to mathematics, I got to go over it like 50 times until I finally have. And the funny thing is, this is really Plato. Plato, he was a great Greek philosopher. He claims that you can't teach mathematics to a child. Did you ever hear of The Republic? He wrote a famous book called The Republic. And he tries to understand how you teach basic arithmetic to a child. And he says, ultimately, the child has to get to it on its own. You can only sort of lead him through the... Anyway, yeah.
Just a question of logic. If I'd like to use since-then statements to help you understand logically. Since the person who eats the basar,
right.
Since he's able to eat the basar halachically, that therefore he is...
The bain.
The own.
Correct.
And the kapara therefore is linked somehow to ownership.
Well, you know what? We probably, Ben, at this point, should go back to back to the drawing board and go through. Mm-hmm. Right. For example, we say that the ultimate purpose of a karbon is to be miskaper. We say that, for example, the zrika sadam is matir the aktaras emurim, and aktaras emurim therefore is matir the achilas basar. We have to go through the whole.
Right.
There's a lot of processing here that we have to go through. And at the end of the day, what the Rashim is presenting, and I think I heard this from Rav Ozer once, is that if you are considered the Baal HaKarbon, you eat the basar. The Rashim is adding another link into this chain. He says, you know why you're eating the basar? Because you're the miskap. So for example, a guy, and this is the sugyala that maybe you missed a little bit in Menachos, that the guy was magdash HaKarbon, a shlomim, Almanas, she is kaper bo Yisrael, and the Gemara assumes that's the way he presents it here. We have to go through the sugya inside, but the Gemara assumes that if he's the miskaper, then he eats the basar. And what that means in the Rashima's frame of reference is that he's the bialim, because how do I prove my bialim? As I said before, Shnayim also tells you're yelling, well, I'm the magdish, and I'm yelling, but you gave me the kapar pass. So at the end of the day. Who is the real violinist, right?
Well, I think you can ask a question on the Rosh Yeshiva's logic from the following. I don't know. It could be that there are many other sources, but it could be that there's something unique about the case of a guy. The guy can't own kachin. So if you say the reason why the violinist has to transfer to the one he's designated for kapara, therefore he's allowed to eat, therefore he's a violinist, is only because it's a case of a guy. But in case of Yisrael, maybe the violinist stays with the original person who's magdashed. I mean, I just...
So Rav Rozovsky agrees with half of what you're saying. And he says the following, that there's no question that Gemara is a special looking good. But he comes up with a whole other thesis. His thesis is that since a guy is excluded from eating kachin, therefore he can, on the one hand, retain his status as a bailim, but on the other hand, he gives over the basar, because somebody has to eat the basar, oh, to these strokes. But that's not your classical case of, well, I'm the miskaper, therefore I eat the bus. Let's see.
Let's assume one last point. Would you argue, based on this logic, that a Yisrael brings a korban that necessarily has to be eaten by Kohan? That the bialus of the Kohan, of the korban, belongs to the Kohan?
What are we talking about? A shlomim?
Whatever korban is only...
Shlomim. Let's say about
shlomim. Whatever. The ones we say, I don't know.
Let's say about shlomim. Fine.
So Yisrael brings a shlomim.
Right.
The Kohan are the ones who eat. So who's the bialim? According to this logic, the Kohan are the ones who are the bialim. Is that correct? I mean, that would be the logical.
So let's not talk about shlom, because then shlom becomes complicated. Let's talk about a chatas.
Oh, okay.
According to Rashi, as I effect yichiel, if I bring a carbon chatas and I can't eat the basar, only the kohen can eat the basar. Should we define therefore the kohen is the bialim?
Even though you're getting the kapara as an individual.
It's a pella. He's saying that if I'm a skaper, then I should be the bialim. No. In the case of Chatos, I'm the miskaper, not the Kohen. And yet the Kohen eats the basar. And not only does the Kohen eat the basar, by the way, he has rights to eat the basar. There's a whole sugya about a Baal Mum who's allowed to eat the basar, but does he have rights to get the basar? This called what's called Chiluk HaBasar. He's not Zochet to be one of the Mechalke HaBasar, but yet he can eat the basar. So if another Kohen is, on the Mishmar, he gets the basar, he can then invite the Baal Mum to eat with him the Karma. But you see very clearly that this concept that the Kohen eats the basar, he has Chusin to eat the basar. So why don't we call him the bialim? That's absolutely ridiculous, I think. But in kashrut you can't say that. But anyway, because you never know what they'll pull on you. But Ben, give me just 1 minute to see what Rav Shmuel Rozovsky has to say. He says the following: Yesh lidchos ulechal didafka hechada akum higdish vehu asur b'achilas kashrut. So what's unique about the case of a guy who's magdish a karbon is that he's enjoined from eating kachim. V'lo shayach bo ze zechiyah al achilas basar. In other words, when I bring a carbon and I can eat the basar, then I have schusim on the basar. And if I give those schusim over to someone else, then I'm transferring schusim over to someone else. But if I'm the magdish, but I never had any rights to eat the basar, because the Torah enjoins me from eating the basar, then in such a case, you know, the halacha of giving someone else the basar is not necessarily. Well, let's go on and see what he says. Umishum hachi memela zochi Yisrael hamiskaper bebasar. Ah, in other words, the magdish could not possibly have achilas basar in this case of akul. So memela, who gets the rights to eat the basar? Somebody has to eat the basar, and the answer is it's the Yisrael who's miskaper. But again, he's saying the following: you can't universalize. The Rashiv is wrong, so to speak. Right, he's wrong in assuming that based on this sugya at the end of Menachos, we can assume that the miskaper is the bialim. No, there is one unique case where the miskaper is the bialim, based on the fact that he eats the basar, and that's because the guy was excluded from the basar, so he never had bialus over the basar to begin with. Let me read it one more time. I'm sorry, maybe I didn't. He says, "Yesh lidchos lechalik." Just trying to get the words around. I apologize. Yesh lidchos lechalik. The dafka hecha da'akum shehigdish asur b'achilus kodshim v'lo shayach be'ischiyal achilus basar. So, because the Torah never gave him rights to eat the basar, therefore he never had schusim. His bailus did never extend to include the achilus basar. So, achilus basar was never an expression of his bialus. Mishum hachi. So now,
see,
the Israel is going to what? Is going to eat the basar, because which Israel? I mean, not any Israel. It's got to be the Israel and the skaper. But that doesn't mean that you could always assume, based on that sugya, that the miskaper eats the basar. One second. Al hecha di Yisrael higdish. Again, in the case of Reuven and Shimon, she's kaper bo chavero, and zochi amagdish b'achilas basar.
What kind of carbon are you talking about?
Well, again, if he's Yisrael, I don't know if he means Yisrael here, a Jew, or he means a non-Kohen. So let's assume he means a non-Kohen. So then we're talking about shlomim. So Reuven was Magdish Shlomim, and he said Al Menashe Yiskaper Bo Shimon, and therefore Reuven himself, when he was Magdish the Karbon, he had the possibility of what? Of Achilas Basar, and he transferred over that Achilas Basar to Shimon. Just one second, I'm reading too much into it. Aval Hecha the Yisrael Higdish She is kaper bo chavero, zochi amagdish biachilas habosor. So it's zochi amagdish biachilas habosor. Choshev hu bailov v'lo amskaper. So who sells a magdish? The magdish is considered a bialim. And why is the magdish considered a bialim? Because since he was zochen achilas basar, can somebody tell me who is actually eating the basar? Is it the magdish or is it the miskaper? According to Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, can you just translate these words for me? Avol hecha di Yisrael higdish. Almanashi is kaper bo chavero. So I'm going to ask you in just one minute after I finish the sentence, who eats the basar? He says the following: V'zochi amagdish. Okay, that's Reuven. Bachilas habasar. Aye, he said Almanash. Who's going to get the kapara? Shimon, right? Is choshev who bailov? Meaning that Reuven remains the bialim. That's going to answer our question: Why the yoresh is meimir, right? Because the yoresh is now the magdish, right? Because he's yoresh, because he's shekanya, right? So he says v'choshvu bailov. So who's the balakarbon? The magdish, the lav is kaper,
right?
So I'm curious to know, according to Rav Shmuel Vilosky, who eats the basar?
It sounds like the guy who's the original person.
The original.
Not the one who gets the kapara.
That's really interesting. You know, he's jumping two steps here, Rav Shmuel Vilosky. You know, on the one hand, I understand how he rejects the proof from the sugya of Akum, but he seems to have derived a major conclusion here. Yeah, I would. If he would have had a halfway measure, I would have been more at home with this. If he would have just said that in the case of Magdish al Menashe's Kapir, the Magdish remains the Bailim even though he's not the Miskapir. Even though he's not the Miskapir. Just one second. And the Miskapir is going to eat the Bosker. Yeah, but we're still assuming that whoever eats the boss is considered a violent. So he must be saying now, as Yechiel just pointed out, that it's Reuven who eats the boss. That's what I think he's saying, because he's not undermining our premise that it's the Bailim who get the rights to eat the boss. So he's saying now that even though Reuven gave rights to Shimon to be Miskaper, but he doesn't give up his Bailims. And he remains the Malach Karmon, and he'll probably eat the bus. And now let's see how this is going to help us in the case of Yoresh. That the Yoresh, since we hold now that what? Yerusha Kanya, he becomes the Malach Karmon. And even though he's not the Miskaper, that's what Shiva's thesis is, that he's not the Miskaper, he still remains the Malach Karmon. And we see that if a person is Magdish a Karbon, Al Menashe's Kapo Chavero, even though Chavero achieves the Kapara, but he remains the Bala Karbon, and therefore, in the case of a Yoresh, even if he's not the Miskaper, basically he's saying that you could be the Bala Karbon even though you're not a Miskaper.
Yeah, because they're making a basic error. The error is, the Ohel is not the definition of the Bala Karbon. The definition of who is the Baal is the one who has the right to say who eats the korban. It doesn't matter whether he can eat it. The fact that he can't himself eat it is a technicality. Because he's a goy, because he's tameh, because he's this, because of that. That's a technicality. But he has the right to say who is. Just like when he offers truma. Even though the Yisrael,
right.
He has the right to say which kohen will eat the truma.
So you want to say that Enochinami Shimon is going to eat the what you call the boss, but nevertheless Reuven remains the violin. Why?
Right.
Because he was the one who gave up his rights.
That's right. He may not have given up his rights. He didn't give up his rights because he never had a right.
No. I'm talking about the classical case.
Doesn't matter which case. He may never be able to eat it. The korban himself. For whatever reason, no matter what the reason is, as long as he has the right to say who will eat it, he is the Baal.
And he remains the Baal. Even though he tells Shimon, you're going to be Miskaper, and even though Shimon's going to eat the Boston. That's
right. But
I didn't understand that here, but that's,
because
that's
only,
what Alan is.
Only on his day can he eat the Boston.
So Yechiel, the Shitascha, there's a machlokas here between Rav Shmuel Rizovsky and Dr. Alan Kermar. Not bad.
My name's longer than his.
Not only that, you're alive and he's gone. You know, when he was very sick, he went to Boston for treatment.
He went to
Rav Shmuel Rizovsky.
Yeah.
And he was Rashi Ponovich. Yeah. And he came to Boston, and the Rav used to visit him while he was sick.
Yeah.
And when he went back to Eretz Yisrael, he said, Chaval, there's no one here in this country that I could talk to and learn. The only one is Rav Soloveitchik.
Really?
This is Rashi Ponov, who's considered in his time the biggest lamed in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, go ahead.
So, slightly out of context, but when we talk about Tumura, you can do Tumura even though you're not the Balim. I found that very counterintuitive.
So wait, one second. What we're saying now is that if you hold that Magdish, Meimir,
right.
So there are one or two ways of understanding that. One way of saying Magdish is Meimir is because he's the Balim. But that's going to be problematic because in the case of, oh, so if you hold Yerusha Kanya, just one second, If you hold Yerusha Kanya, so the Yorish now becomes the Bailum. Right. Well, so the problem with this Mahalach is going to be the case of Zehish the Zemiskaper, if you follow me on Menashe. Yes. If I assume that since Shimon is the Miskaper, he becomes the Bala Korban, and that's what the Nefesh Tova derived that conclusion from the Sugyan Avodah Zorah, that the Goy was Magdish the Korban, the Yisrael has rights to be Miskaper in the Korban, and therefore the Yisrael becomes the Bala Korban. If that be the case, then if we assume A, that the Yorish is not the Miskaper, and B, the Gemara has no problem with the fact that the Yorish is Meimir, then we're in deep trouble, because we just finished saying that the it's Dafka the Miskaper who became the Bala Korban, and now you're telling me that the Yorish, even though he's not the Miskaper, he could be Meimir, but he's not the Bala Korban.
Right.
So that's where Shmuel Rozovsky comes up with his thesis, and he's basically going along your line that the Meimir is the Bala Korban. He's the Bala Korban. But the Chiddush here is, even though he's not the Miskaper, and that's going to help us with Yoresh. So it means the following, that the Yoresh now, if you hold Yerusha Kanya, becomes the Bala Korban. Afal pi, she'eno Miskaper. And therefore, Magdish Meimir means that even though the Magdish gave over the Kapara rights to Shimon, he, the Magdish, still remains the Bala Korban, and therefore he's the Meimir. So again, if you're accepting Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, then what you're saying is that A, the Miskaper is not the Bala Korban, B, that who's Meimir? It's the Magdish, B'toras Bala Korban, because even though he forfeited his rights to be Miskaper, he still remains the Bala Korban. And the Nafkamina might be, as Yechiel pointed out before, whether he eats the Basar or not. So it's fascinating because, you know, we say that the essence of a Korban is the Kapara. Well, it's the Lo Pashut, because we say now that the Magdish, even though he gave the Kapara rights over to the Miskaper, over to Shimon, right? Nevertheless, he retains his rights, not only as a Bailim in the theoretical sense, but in a Bailim in Lamaisa sense, because he's going to eat the Basar. Even though he's not the Miskaper, and then we're going to step one step further, he, the Magdish, insofar as he's the violent, is going to be Meimir. And the Yoresh now, if you hold Yerusha Kanya, is going to be Meimir because he's the Bala Korban, even if he's not the Miskaper. Rabbi, this is not easy stuff, you know. And it's mind-boggling because, you know, to say that the Miskaper is not the Bala Korban, and even to go a step further and say the Miskaper is not the Ochel Es HaBasar, with the very exceptional case of Akum, you know, that it sort of undermines a lot of, it shakes up the ruffles, or what have you say, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, I have to say for it, I have Simen Yud, and I looked at all Simen Yud, and I don't see anything related to. It's b'din chala im etzarif la shari minin l'shir chala. That's the minyud.
So this is called Zichron Shmuel. Does it say Reb Shmuel Rozovsky on the fly page, on the title page?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not in Sof Simen Ein Ches.
No, Simen Yud. Is that what that means?
No, it's Ein Ches. Ein Ches. Sof Simen Ein Ches.
I thought Sof Simen Yud, and then I don't know what the Ein Ches stood for.
No, the Samach Yud is Simon. And the Sam of Vav at the beginning is Sof.
And that might be the answer.
Take a look at the end of Ein Ches. And if you don't find it, we'll write a letter to the editor. I'll wake up early and go to
Israel. That makes more sense. But Inyan Das, Ba'akrabas Karbonos.
Okay, I don't know what he means by Das.
So you know the, do you know the Rav Yeshiva well enough to ask him that I can go to Shiur Thursday nights?
You mean I should ask on your behalf?
Yeah, because
how should I formulate it?
It's basically.
You want me to mention your name or
well,
just?
Well, it's Bo Grim of Yeshiva, which I am not, but I'm learning it with you and his sefer. Would he allow me to come into his shiur Thursday night?
Well, your impression is that he doesn't allow other people.
It's basically for Bo Grim, but I would love to.
I mean, so do me a favor, Ben. Just send me just
I'll
a reminder.
I'll wear a white shirt. I'll wear a black hat. Whatever it takes to learn. I'll wear a Disney costume. Whatever it takes.
So you'll look over and see if he says who eats the bus. Or maybe there's another line that's not quoted here. And the Rosh Hashiva doesn't like it. V'tzarech im. Right, this part you're not going to find over there because this is the critique of what you're looking at. He says, the e nema debi alma ha-magdish hu ha-bailim mehechetesi shim ein ha-akum yochol lechol is Ye ochal miskaper dafka v'hu ye choshev bailov. L'chor name it the Yochal Mishi Yitin Lo Akum Rishus Liochlo.
Right, exactly.
So in other words, he's not happy with this assumption of Rav Shmuel Rizovsky that just because the guy can't eat the basar, like you said before, Alan, it's like a technicality. Therefore, the Bala Karbon, who eats the Karbon, is the Yisrael HaMiskapi. Okay, the Akum can't eat the basar, I grant you. But therefore, the Miskapi is going to eat the basar? And not only that, therefore, we're going to define the Miskapi as the Bailim Lechor and Neymar. Why not say the let's take it from the other side. That the Akum is going to decide who eats the basar, but the Akum himself still remains the Balakar. So we're stuck then. Matzino b'divrei ha-Tosfos. All right, Rabosa, I'm going to stop here because...
Shakur, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, thank you. I don't know when I'm going to have a chance to go through this, but... In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be giving...
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, thank you. Thank you. Okay, we'll be in touch, man, right?
Thank you.
Especially
absolutely.
This afternoon.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Leave the door open if you can. It's a hard door to open.
Yeah. I can hardly open.
Yeah, you have to eat your Wheaties to open this door.
He wants to get into the shir. We were at
I forgot to ask him where the shir takes place. I should have asked him. Ben, are you still there?
He wants to get into whose shir? He wants to get into Katz's shir.
It seems that Rav Katz gives for Bogrim in his sheep. I'm not sure if he gives it in his sheep or in his house. He gives a chabura once a week in Kachin. He's in love with Kachin.